Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. Make sure to download me on the go and follow me on Spotify and Apple Podcast under Tales from the Dark Forest. If you're new to the YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe and click that notification bell. Now, let's get spooky. The truck rumbled to a start as I made my way to the hunting ground. I had a sniper's nest set up deep in the nearby national park, and every year I'd head out there solo and bag some elk. It was a relatively long drive, about 2 hours each way, but it was the only place in the entire world where I felt at ease. The humdrum monotony of the adult world melting away more and more the longer I tracked and stalked, way out there in my secluded part of the woods. Once I hit the spot where I usually parked, I had another 3 hour hike before I finally would be there. Lugging my gear over my back was always the low point of the trip, but it was all worth it, regardless of whether I got a deer or not. I slung the heavy pack over my shoulder and the truck slowly disappeared out of view as I lumbered down the beaten path. By the time that I arrived, my back was aching and the sun was going down, so I was more than happy to put up the tent as soon as my nest and the large and mostly barren conifer tree came into view. I dumped all my stuff at its base and began putting together my sleeping arrangements. As soon as it was up, I collapsed inside with my sleeping bag, eyes already closing. The tiny one-man tent would be my home for the next 3 days, and I couldn't have been happier in that moment. I snuggled in and faded into a deep slumber. I woke up sometime later, needing the piss. As I unzipped the tent, the brisk night air hit me hard and I was hurried over to the base of my tree to relieve myself, eager to get back inside. Then, just as my stream was coming to an end, I heard something off in the distance, jarring me as I had been so tuned in to the twilight ambulance of the forest floor.
Peter.
The sound was faint, but it was definitely a voice, a woman's voice. I stood fixed like a deer in headlights, listening.
Peter.
It was clearer this time, closer perhaps. I racked my brain trying to figure out what was going on. There was no rational answer that could explain why someone would be out here amidst the thick woodland at this time of the night, and in this remote part of the forest, calling my name. I never married, never had kids. All of my relatives were either dead or out of state, and I didn't mention to anyone at work that I was coming here. Even if I did, why would any of them be out here looking for me? I had my phone. I even had a satellite phone. If something important had come up, they would have just called me, not trekking deep into the woods after me. This wasn't right.
Peter.
The voice sounded farther away. I backed into my tent, zipping it shut behind me and loading my rifle. I'm glad I didn't have a fire going or a light on. Whatever that was, it wasn't good. I didn't want it to find me. After catching about an hour's sleep, the sun finally broke over the horizon. I had been terrified all night, but the brightness of the new day soothed me. As I made breakfast, I began to feel pretty silly. I was a full-grown man out in the woods getting scared by spooky noises like a little kid. I had simply woken up in the dark and was creeped out over some animal calls. That was it. I ascended the rope ladder, rifle hugging me as I pulled myself onto the platform I had built. It wasn't anything special, just four knee-high walls fixed onto a slightly sturdier floor. I only had about enough room to sit on my chair or stand, but I got a phenomenal view of the surrounding area. My spot was just on the edge of a 50-foot clearing that separated two sides of the tree line, and deer loved to come here to graze this time of year. So I waited, having a beer or two and not seeing much in the way of game. Just a lot of chirping birds and critters rustling below. Several hours passed and I was starting to feel tired. Last night's lack of sleep had really messed up my day. Just as I was getting ready to climb back down, I noticed something pale in the distance, standing out against the sea of green on the other side of the tree line. It looked like a head, poking out from one of the conifers. I put the scope of the rifle up to my eye and tried to get a fix on it. After scanning around for a few seconds, I found it. Whatever it was. It definitely was a head. I couldn't see its eyes clearly against the alabaster tone of its skin. A glint must have caught the scope and it darted away out of view.
Peter.
This time, there was no denying it. Someone was out there messing with me. It had to be. A stupid prank if ever there was one. It's just asking to get shot in the face by accident. By accident, I chuckled to myself. Won't be no accident when I find this turd, that's for sure. I wasn't actually going to shoot anyone. After all, now that I had figured out their dumb joke, I was going to get to the bottom of it, and hopefully give them a good scare back. So after another brief scan of the trees, I scrambled down the ladder, trying not to be spotted by whoever might be watching, before circling around to where I'd seen the figure. There I sat, packing lightly filled with essentials and rifle perched under my arm, waiting for the next call. It didn't take long.
Peter.
It wasn't a familiar voice whatsoever. It made a chill run down my spine. This only made any sense if someone I knew was trying to freak me out. But surely they wouldn't have gone as far as to hire someone to do it, right? That would be ridiculous. As ridiculous as someone following you miles deep into the woodland just to mess with you, I thought to myself, stomach tightening. Before I could begin re-rationalizing the situation, my train of thought was derailed and a deep sense of determination overcame my confusion.
Peter.
She couldn't have been far away. I sprung to my feet and began marching away over to her. But as I covered more ground, the voice seemed to move along with me, like trying to follow a rainbow. This didn't soften my resolve one bit, and I stubbornly kept on, walking for over a mile before stopping after not hearing her for a while. I removed a lightly crushed water bottle from my pack and put it up to my lips.
Peter.
This time, it was close. Closer than I had ever gotten to it. She sounded genuinely in need of help. I spat water all over myself in shock and quickly packed it away before climbing the short ridge where the voice had come from. I was met with a small, dark cave opening, foreboding. I'd never ventured off my usual trail in over 30 years of walking it. I was in all new territory, and I felt it right there. I considered heading back, and it was getting dark, and the flashlight I had with me wasn't great. I was exhausted. The joke clearly wasn't funny anymore, and to say I was feeling tired of it was an understatement. I turned around and began trying to retrace my steps when my heart sank and nearly exploded at the same time.
Peter, Peter, Peter.
The woman, whoever it was, screamed. Her voice echoed from within the blackness of the cave. Screw this. The words escaped my gasped mouth like they were fleeing a fire. I high-tailed it out of there, clutching the pack close with the rifle dangling over my shoulder, smacking against my back with each frantic footfall. Her calls for me never stopped, and even though I was getting further and further away as I ran from the cave, her voice still echoed just as close and as loud as when it first started yelling, reverberating and distorting. I didn't go back to camp to get my gear. I didn't even stop for breath until I was back in my truck. Steering wheel gripping beneath my white knuckles and screeching tires beneath my mud-caked boots. I never returned to that place. Although, I don't think it would matter anymore anyways. It followed me. Now it calls for me wherever I go, and I'm the only one who can hear it. It grows ever closer with each passing day. All I know for sure is that I could never, ever let it catch me. But I fear that it will, soon.